The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better, into the deeper parts of Philippians we travel, to understand what things that the Lord doth require of us. As we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives, we seek to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. First, it's hard to describe how important it is to stick with one another through thick and thin. We all love it when it's thick, but when it gets thin, we can get a little distant. True brothers and sisters stand in whether it is easy or hard, just like Jesus. Next, what should be the standard for pastors working full-time or being bivocational? There are no specific standards. The scriptures show both sides of the same coin. Most often, it is decided on an individual case-by-case basis. The key is for no one, the ministered to or the minister, to be bitter about it. And finally, Paul stays the course as he concerns himself with others and their well-being above his own welfare. Imagine thinking of others more often than we think of ourselves.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. It really does work. I know people are afraid of it. It does work. david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. That's always fun. You can call us at 972-445-0770. And when you call in, 972-445-0770. It's like somebody gave you a bowl of spaghetti with fresh bread. Come on. I mean, how nice is that, right?
And yummy.
That's what happens when T answers the phone. And then she turns you over to me, and it's just like the spaghetti needs to be microwaved. That's sad. All right. Anyway, you can call 972-445-0770. You know you can do that for anything. You can comment on something. You can share a prayer request, a praise report. You can answer trivia, anything that's going on. You can make a comment on the stuff that's going on around the universe, but be careful. We just want you to be encouraging. And then additionally, if the Lord's working on something in your life, you want to share that, we think that's fantastic. We do this weird thing called Bible trivia. I don't know why it's weird, but it's helpful. And here's the first and the easiest. These are all in Genesis. Uh-oh. So you know where to look. You know which book to go to if you're not sure. True or false? True or false? As long as the earth endures, as long as the earth's around, there will be summer and winter. True or false? According to the book of Genesis. According to God. True or false? As long as the earth endures, there will be summer and there will be winter. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a little bit better than two cans and a string, but not a lot. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. So the trivia question has been laid down. Not a tough one, actually, I think. If you've read Genesis, it's not a tough one. Some people are like, going, I don't know where that is. Guess what? It's in Genesis. True or false, as long as the earth endures, there will be summer and winter. Okay? Okay. Okay? Okay. All right. There you go. In the meantime, I want to go into our – did we cover – oh, website. Website, hemustincrease.org. Don't forget because we need the dough. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. All right, so we are doing expository teaching. I don't want anybody to miss that, so let's open up with our little expository teaching line, which makes no sense at all, but I like to hear it.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
I know you guys get tired of that. I don't. See, that's the big thing. I like that one line where Noah asked me, is the show is about you? Well, this segment is. I thought that was just a great line. Anyway, here's what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. So we're in the lap. We've got today and we've got next week, and that's going to be it for Philippians. And we're going to take one small break and then get into Acts, and that's going to be tons of fun. But remember, different kind of style, because Acts is a narrative, and so we'll be teaching that a little bit differently. Verse 14 of Philippians 4 says this, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that it was that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." There is something just magnificent about this portion that people would read and just skip right by, but I think you need to understand what's going on in the process. Paul is expressing, get ready, appreciation to the Philippians' contributions. We're going to talk about the famous Philippians 4:19 verse next week, but this week we're talking about the lead up to it, and Paul is like, "Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Let me explain something to you to put this in context. This is 10 years. 10 years that this church has been contributing and helping and praying and coordinating and directing and supporting and loving. And one of the most fantastic things about the Church of Philippi is their willingness to bear Paul's burdens, watch this, and do something about it. It's one thing for you to go, yeah, wow, man, yeah, I really feel you, man. Yeah, that's cool, I feel you. But it's a whole other thing to say, yeah, man, I really feel you. Here, I want to do this. Because that moves it from just a, I feel you to I'm doing something. And Paul makes reference to the beginning when he says in the second part of that verse, in verse 15, you know also that in the beginning of the gospel, this is the beginning of Paul's missionary, his second missionary tour. And nobody, watch this. This is like forever in scripture, right? So it will never disappear. Nobody supported and took care of Paul the way that the Church of Philippi did. They weren't the wealthiest church. They probably didn't give nearly as much as some of the other churches. In fact, the Church of Corinth would have had 10 times more money. But the idea is that these guys stuck with it through thick and thin, the up and the down. And I will say this, the church today is way too much like the world when there's a pastor or a leader or a couple or people that are going through struggles. The church is the first person to pull the other side of the pencil out and start erasing them out of people's lives. It's terrible. It's a long, long saying that the church is famous for throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Not only do we not like things that don't look right, but if it's even close, then we get rid of the person too. And it's a horrible reputation, and it is in many ways deserved because the church doesn't stick through thick and thin. So let me say this way. It's got nothing to do with me or anything, but I'm talking about other people and other ministries. When they have fallen, what is the church ready to do? They're just, crucify, crucify, crucify. Nobody's looking for redemption. Nobody's looking for restoration. They're just looking to crucify the person. It's like so sad, right? It's terrible. The church needs to be more compassionate. This is the most amazing thing, especially amongst brothers and sisters. It's the most amazing thing. We try to be more compassionate for people that hate Jesus, saying, well, that's our witness. But when it comes to our brothers and sisters, we're like, yeah, whatever. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another, not for the world. It's like, wowzer, we need to do better in that realm. And Paul giving the church of Philippi the props that they deserve. Okay, the props that they stood by it. All right, let me answer the trivia question, and then we'll do the exit. The question was, true or false, as long as the earth endures, there will be summer and winter. The answer is true, Genesis 8:22. Yes, I know that climate change people don't like that. Yes, the word climate means weather. It actually means weather patterns, for those that want to look up the word in the dictionary. The bottom line is God said, nope, always going to be hot, always going to be cold. That's the way it's going to go till I blow the trumpet. People don't have to like it, but God's truth is greater than science. Sorry, that's the way it goes. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I just thought of something, so I wanted to share it. You know, as we exited, I was saying that God's truth is greater than man's, or is greater than science. I should say that differently. I should say it differently just because it would make more sense. It should be God's science is more truthful than man's science. Because when God says something's going to happen, the word science actually means knowledge or to know. And so it's like God's knowledge, God says, is accurate, whereas man's science changes all the time. 150 years ago, they were like, smoke them up. Smoke them if you got them. It's just like, well, that changed. And then the universe was 30 trillion, zillion, billion years old, and then it was 16 billion trillion, and then it was 50. And they keep changing that. They don't know. Okay? So I should say God's science, God's truth, God's knowledge is more accurate. So I just want to make that little correction. Okay? Just making sure. Okay? Okay. All right. Climate change. The big thing about climate change, the whole world's going to flood again. I'm pretty sure God said I'm never going to flood the world again. Okay. Anyhow, that's kind of one of those things I'm talking about. Let's do the next trivia question, and then we'll just go from there. Otherwise, I'll lose my mind. How old was Noah when the floodwaters came? Wow. Didn't see that one coming, right? All these out of Genesis. How old was Noah when the floodwaters came? Specific verse, by the way. You can call 972-445-0770, or you could text 214-210-8483. I'm giving the props out to Eric. He's nailing it because he studied. He studied this, so he knows. This is going to get harder. That's all I'm going to tell you. It's going to get harder. All right, you ready for a couple of quickie jokes? Okay. Okay. All right, here we go. I kind of like this one. I hope you like this one. Ready? You ready? Got the buzzer? Ready? All right. A fellow went to the doctor who told him that he had a bad illness and only had a year to live. So he decided to talk to his pastor. After the man explained the situation, he asked his pastor if there was anything he could do. What you should do is go out and buy a late 1970s model Dodge pickup, said the pastor. Then you should go get married to the meanest, ugliest woman you can find and buy yourself an old house trailer in the panhandle of Oklahoma. The fellow asked, will this help me live longer? No, said the pastor, but it will make what time you have seem like it's lasting forever. Come on. Is that a good one? That's a good one. Okay. All right. Sorry. All right. How old was Noah when the floodwaters came? Really, if you want to get into it, we'll have to do this one time. We'll go into the numbers because it talks about Noah was a certain age, and then he had kids, and then after he had kids, then the Lord commissioned him. And so the kids were around from the commissioning point of view, which really gives you a different age as to when Noah started. But we're just simply asking, how old was Noah when the floodwaters came? Just going to leave it right there. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Let's get back to our text. Did we cover everything? That's pretty much everything. I just got to check with T. All right, so here we're going to this next verse, and this is really a fascinating verse. And I want, as you know, we talk about these things and we try to apply them to our lives. And this is a very important application, especially if you're attending church. Verse 14, nevertheless, you've done well that you've shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, it's talking about 10 years ago, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Then he says this in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Now you think, well, that's just an ambiguous little verse. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me aid. You sent me help. And you just think about this. Now watch this, okay? Here's the thing you got to catch. In Thessalonica, Paul was working on tents. And why is that important? Well, because in Paul's ministry, there were times where he was doing full-time ministry, just getting paid for ministry. And then there were other times he was bivocational, where he was doing the tent, plus he was doing the ministry. And he was still taking money in because it still took money to do some of the things he was doing. And what happens is the church will take a position on something, churches or denominations, and they'll get really dogmatic on it. It's like, well, all pastors should be bivocational because Paul was all bivocational. Not always. And Peter was not bivocational. And James doesn't appear was bivocational per se. But the idea behind this is that there are times where a pastor will have an opportunity to work or to make money. And that's fine. Then there's other times where he's doing ministry full time. That's time. Fine. What I'm trying to say is that what we try to do in the church, which is a disservice to the church, is we try to standardize everything. And this is a big problem in the church. Not a problem that the church is not going to overcome. That's ridiculous. Jesus is the head of the church. His church will prevail. In fact, whenever I see an article about the church is failing here and failing here, the church is not going to fail because it's Jesus' church. So just take a deep breath, okay? Well, if you don't do this, the church is going to go under. Really? Jesus is going under? I didn't see that in the scripture. Let me look. Okay, so that's just kind of, just stop that stuff. But what Scripture does do is gives allowances per situations. And if you need some examples scripturally, just look at Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and Titus chapter 1, where you have two different sets of qualifications for ministers. Worst thing the church does is tries to combine these two. Well, why is that bad? Because Timothy's situation, he was in Ephesus and had a bazillion people to choose from, and he gets more specific, while Titus was on an island called Crete, and he didn't have as many people to choose from, and his list is much smaller. There's no sense in there that says combine these to find a pastor. That's the dumbest thing ever. It's different situationally. If you have 10 people to choose from, your list is a little smaller than if you have a million people to choose from. That's it. That's it. It's not like, well, that's rocket science. No, I don't think so. I think rocket science has to do with rocket propulsions and stuff. This is just called common sense. And so whether your pastor's bivocational or just vocational, like, so the church has got to be congregational. It's got to be Presbyterian style. It's got to be this. It's got to be the church reveals all of that, shows all of that. It's not just one. And I know there's some very well-doctored people. That's my way of saying they have the big doctorate degree and they say it must be this, it must be this. Just because they're a doctor and they have as many degrees as Dr. Fahrenheit doesn't make them right. You know, Job said something amazing. He said there's many good – this is in Job chapter 31. There's many great people that aren't very wise. How about that statement right there? I think we could do a whole show on that. There's many great people thought of as great. They're brilliant. They're great. They're key to the faith. And then he goes, they're not very wise. Ah. And I'm not trying to say this to put anybody down, so don't misunderstand. I'm trying to say this to broaden the perspective of the church. In this case, Paul was like, yeah, you gave to me money. I was in Thessalonica. I had to work there. That was a bummer. I mean, he was glad that he was getting the money, but he was working. He was willing to do whatever it took to advance the gospel. That's cool. That's a great spirit. That's a great attitude. And he, again, he's giving them props, and he's like, you know, they heard about a need, right, that Paul was having, and they met it, which, again, is important. But what was essential here is to understand that there's just not one way it all goes all the way through. And I'd like us to do a better job of being more compassionate. This is where you get different ministers who are great men, but maybe not very wise, cutting down other denominations because they don't agree with them. That's stupid. David, you can't call them stupid. You're right. It's really stupid. You're right. I should have used really. And the reason it is because the fight is not with one another.
the church is supposed to take care of the church. You're going to always meet people that think differently or see something differently. Have you ever noticed, and this is just a fact, if you've read the book of Matthew, when I read the book of Matthew when I was 22 and I read it again when I was 32, read it again when I was 42, read it again when I was 52, do you know that every time I read it, it was different? Want to know why? Because I was different. You can't change that. And people see things differently as they grow and develop. Did you know every cell in your body regenerates every 7 years? You ever heard that expression? Well, I married her and she's a completely different person. Well, every 7 years, every single person is. Yeah, that's part of it. Love is adapting to that. That's part of that. Well, it was different than... You know, this person was different when they were 18 compared to now when they're 53. Really? That's revelatory. It's like, come on. So we can do a little better on that one. So my whole point in bringing that up is to recognize Scripture gives different room in different places. This is not essential or anything. If your pastor, by the way, is bivocational, it means he's working hard to get things done, keep things going. You know, he should be a little more generous. He could probably use the help. What's wrong with that? God will honor it. Because you're given unto the Lord. I think that's a great thing. Okay, back to the trivia question, and then we got to exit. Okay, all right. The trivia question was, how old was Noah when the flood waters came, specifically referring to Genesis chapter 7, verse 6? He was 600 years old. He was 600 years old. And just for fun of it, because I want to make you guys think for a second. So he was 500 when he had his three kids. And then after he had his three kids, okay, he had the commission to build the ark. So the ark took somewhere between 500 and 600 in his age to build. So probably less than 100, but somewhere about 100 years between that commission and that fulfillment. That's just fast, like 100 years to build that thing. Wow. Get it out of my driveway. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe. This September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey, this book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic.
thrilled to have you on the show. It's my privilege. I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get our next trivia question on the board. This is a little tougher, but not too tough. What was Abraham's father named? What was Abraham's father named? That is the question. What was Abraham's father's name? And I do want to make sure you guys understand. Sometimes I get, you know, passionate, and I know you guys know this. I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that. I just kind of get into it because having this Baptist and Pentecostal background, having a Baptist and Pentecostal degree, it's just like I wish they'd stop shooting one another in a circle and start praying with one another. It'd just be so much easier if people learned to have cheeseburgers together. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Do we have somebody that wants to answer? Okay. All right. All right. Let me answer it. Let's see. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, this is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace, how are you, my good friend?
I'm doing just great. I appreciate the prayers. Thank you very much.
You got it, my brother.
Thanks. And I got something that bugs me more than anything in the world right now. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it to glorify my Father in heaven. And he also said, I have given you more works to do than I. Greater works you'll
Correct.
Do than I do.
Correct.
Now, this isn't really very, it's not really happening. And I'm really concerned, what is his name? What is Jesus' name? Jesus or some other name?
All right. So when you're and let me just make sure I understand the question before I answer it. So what are you asking is why we're not doing it, or you like right. what's the specific that you're trying to drill down to so I can answer you?
A name that works. A name
okay.
that brings
okay.
power. Besides Jesus, I mean, I know he has other names, of course, and
no,
I mean,
yeah, and I think
you're.
I think that the key in this, there's two things in this. First of all, when it says the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, there's not much of a greater work than raising the dead. So I think I'd be careful on the quality versus the quantity. Because when you raise somebody from the dead, I think you've pretty much you've hit the cycle. I mean, that's pretty much as good. But we should be doing this more. There should be more of this and more of this stuff going on. We're doing it in Jesus' name. We're coming before the Lord in Jesus in His name, in His declaration. And there's great power in that name. I think what takes place is people come before the Lord, use Jesus' name, but for selfish or self-centered things. And that's where you come into James, and it's like you ask upon your lusts, and you're not getting it because that's not what the purpose is. And so there's the detraction from that. But if the things that we pursue and we ask in Jesus' name, it's amazing how much more prayer seems to get answered and more intense and visible prayer gets answered in places that are less educated. It just makes you think, well, maybe the education becomes this block to what true faith is and true faith can do, because we're so smart, we've outsmarted ourselves in the ability to figure out that God can do it better than we can do it.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's still such a straight, direct quote, you know, whatever you ask me in my name. I mean, it's like, well, you know, you see where I'm. Where
yeah, absolutely. And I think
calling him a liar or not, because he's saying I will do this.
And our,
I got a feeling there's a name that there's just some other name is. I mean, you know, I mean the translations and stuff. I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, his Arabic name or his Hebrew Greek Hebrew name would be, you know, well, I call him Yeshua, but does he have? I mean, the name's so important. That's what. Just concerned. I mean, I use Jesus all the time, but there's power that's not being loosed.
Absolutely.
From heaven.
That's absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. There's power that's not being accessed and our faith not being heightened because we don't think of it as coming in his name or coming from his point of view or coming with his blessing or his favor. We always think of it as coming just from ours and then throw that in as like a closing to a pen, to a letter that we're penning or something. And it's like, no. You're coming to the Father in the name of the Son who laid the groundwork on earth. It's like there's a lot there, and I don't think we access that.
Yeah, okay. I'll let you go. I just, something that I've really been bugging me, and I hate to see, like, your grandchild, baby. Just, it's just not right. We should be, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
But I hear you. I agree with you. I think we should be doing a lot better and a lot more. I do.
Yeah.
I do. I'm with you.
Then that'd be good. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel that. It's like there's times you're just like, yeah. And people sometimes they just throw up a prayer because they think they're supposed to. I don't think that gets answered. I don't think the Lord's like, well, that's impressive. You were supposed to, so you did it. Yeah. It's not a lot of faith there. All right, where are we at? We're doing the trivia question, and then we got to do history. Is that what we're going around? All right, trivia question. What was Abraham's father named? Actually, I wrote the question. What was Abe's dad named? It's okay if you can look it up, by the way. It's okay to look it up. I want you to be – that's a good thing, to look it up in the scripture. Somewhere in Genesis, somewhere with Abraham, right? All right. Somebody's calling in, so we're going to let them answer, and then I'm going to do the history. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Richard, my blessed brother.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Oh, I'm so thrilled that I got through and I've got the answer. I had to look it up, though, because my memory is not as good. But anyway, it's Tara.
That is correct. Tara is correct. Excellent job. Genesis 11:27. We find out that's Abe. Yeah, somebody wrote in Mr. Abraham. Anyway, you know that Tara is the right answer. And he
Thank
had
you.
Three
Thank you.
Sons.
Ooh, I'm so happy.
Excellent.
I feel like I did something for the Lord.
Amen, brother. You did.
Amen.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Excellent job. Excellent, excellent. See that? Mr. Abraham. Al wrote Mr. Abraham. Our audience. I'm telling you. All right. We're going to have to. I think we have to wait on history. I'm never going to get through this stuff. Is that all right? Okay. All right. I got to teach, you know. It's like, it's important. All right, let me get back to this. So we're in Philippians 4, that's 14, 15, 16, and we're getting to 17. Now remember, next week we're going to do 19, which is the big verse everybody talks about. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. We're going to do that next week. Here we go. I want to build it up so you can follow it. Okay. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, where I was working, you sent aid once again for my necessity. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek fruit that abounds to your account. I think this guy is so amazing. Okay? Is somebody still on the phone? We got somebody on the phone? Because it looks like it's – or that or – okay, there. Look at what he says. I wish I spent more time on this, and I probably should spend some time next week. Listen to what he says. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that may abound to your account. Paul is better than I could ever be right here. He's more concerned about the Philippians' progress and their benefits, even above his own needs. Even though he needs help, and we do it on this show, and I'm just being honest, I want you guys to be blessed, but I also tell you, if we don't get the money in, it's not going to be a show. It's not like, but Paul does a better job than I do, and he lays it out and just like, look, it's not fruit that I need for my account. It's good for you. It's good for your account. And Paul's expressing this in terms of them purchasing, in a sense, helping purchasing, or purchasing, probably the wrong word, advancing the gospel through their giving, because that's specifically what they're doing. So they're putting a commitment in to eternity with their finances, which is like fantastic. It's a wonderful way to do it. It's kind of like spiritual stock, if you kind of think of it in those terms. But he's more concerned about them, and he's like, look, I'm not seeking the gift. You guys you're doing great. You're givers. I love it. I know the Lord's going to provide it. I'm appreciative that he provides it through you. But this is good for you. And it's just like, that guy's just got that spirit right there. I wish I had that. I do. I mean, I'm not saying that as a jerk or anything. I wish I had that. This is good for you. It is good for us to do. And we, like Noel and I, we give. And we think it's important to give. But the way that he phrases it, the way he says it, he really wants them just to be blessed in the process. And it's like, that's such a right Christ-like spirit. He's still concerned about them. There's a guy, he's still in jail, people. He's still up against it, doesn't even know what his future is going to be. And he's like, you know, I hope this really turns out good for you. Like, me, I could have my head cut off tomorrow. But, you know, it's like, wow. Sometimes I read passages like this and I think, Lord, and I say to the Lord right while I'm reading it, I don't know if you guys ever do this or not, but I'll read it and I'll go, I want to have that spirit, that heart that just really cares, really is concerned. And so he says, not that I seek a gift, but I seek fruit that might abound to your account. I want you to do well. He already knew he was going to have a ton of stuff in heaven laid up for him. Now he's asking those people at Philippi, lay up stuff for yourself in heaven. This is a great idea. Get some spiritual stock. Fruit that abounds to your account. Good idea. This will help you. And I love it that he talks this way and he communicates this way. This is, again, one of the most intimate letters Paul has ever written. Probably only 2 Timothy. I think only 2 Timothy is more intimate in some of the things that he says. And he wants this to be a blessing for them. And we should want that for others too, that they might be blessed. They might be rewarded too. Yeah, that's the right Christ-like spirit. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and it happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep
your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, it was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
If Jesus... Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yay, Texas. We got another trivia question. A little tougher. You know how we kind of increase them. We go up just a little bit. I will tell you that tomorrow's show is preempted for basketball. Is that correct? So we don't want you to turn off the show, the radio show. You should support SMU basketball. And we support that. We think that's very cool. And we want them to win because then they win and then they win, then we win, and then they're connected to us and it's like everybody's winning. Win, win, win. I like it. And then I want to thank the caller that somebody, or not caller, but somebody texted in, made a really excellent point talking about understanding that we need to abide in Jesus' name more than anything else, more than the pronunciation of his name. We just need to abide in the Lord. And then if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. And there's an important, and I probably messed that up there, but it's really important to understand that this is all about us dwelling in this communion with the Lord. And then when you ask, it's like, bam. Now, there's many times I don't do that very well, but that's a whole separate segment. Okay, here we go. Tough trivia question. Get ready, right? Okay, you can guess on this one, but it's the answer's in Genesis. Who was the last person mentioned before people began to call on the name of the Lord? Who is the last person mentioned? Okay, notice what I said. Who is the last person mentioned before people began to call on the name of the Lord? If you think you know the answer, you can call in to 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, and you can look this up, okay? I mean, I want you to look it up because it's better to look it up than to not look it up, if that makes sense to you, okay? Sure it does. We're going to get ready to do history. Somebody's calling in. I don't know if they're calling in to answer the trivia or not, so we're going to see if they are. If they are, we'll put them through. If not, we're going to go into history. Don't forget, history is his story. And never forget, just as a word to all the audience, never forget, no matter what you hear, no matter what you see, and even no matter what you feel, God is on the throne at the center of the universe. So take a deep breath and trust in your dad, okay? All right, somebody want to answer? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is Eric.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
Hey, I had to look this one up.
I thought you might have to look this one up because it's a little tougher, huh?
Yeah. Good thing it was in my notes, though, huh?
Yeah, but no, see, that's what's good. You texted me today, and for people that don't know, he texted me, and so I said, I'm going to do 5 trivia questions out of Genesis, and that gives him a real chance to get – and instead of being, like, ridiculous questions, like, splaying it up really hard, I just went soft, medium, and harder. This was definitely a harder one.
I do appreciate that, David, because I know you can make it pretty hard, and let's just leave it at that.
You're doing excellent, and I love that you asked that question. So that one thing I said, I don't know if you heard it or not, but if when you're studying, just have a pad of paper next to you when you're reading, you know, just at any point, and if there's one word that kind of just like, bam, what is that word? Do a quick study on it. You'll find it's so rich. It's so wonderful. Like even when you come across something like the word opinion, if you look it up in the Hebrew, there's only 4 times it's used, and it's used 4 times all in the book of Job. It's like so weird. It's like, wow, is that the most bizarre thing? It's like anyway, are you ready for the trivia?
Yes, sir.
All right. Who was the last person mentioned before people began to call on the name of the Lord?
It'd be Enosh, Seth's son.
That is correct! Genesis 4:26 would be the reference point. Excellent job! And that Genesis study you did paying off big time. So great, great, great job. I appreciate it so much.
That and $1 million, I could get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah, well, that and $1 million. Excellent job, Eric. I really appreciate it. Good work.
All right, thank you.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye. All right, that's fun. All right, let's do history. We're running out of time here, so we want to get to the history. Here's history. Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past. All right, for those that don't know, today is Popcorn Lover's Day. Works for me. I like popcorn. Do you like popcorn at the theater?
Of course, movie theater popcorn, white cheddar popcorn.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I mean, I don't mind microwave depending on what it is, right? I mean, there's...
What's the one that starts with an O, Orelli, Orvelli?
Orville Redenbacher one? Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Oh, that's a good one. It's also National Oatmeal Nut Waffle Day, which I don't even know what that means. I mean, is that just a waffle that's oatmeal nut? You read some of these things, and it sounds like, what is that? I don't even get it. It's Johnny Appleseed Day. We're not going to do the famous... There's a famous routine I have where... The guy's singing, you know, the lard's been good to me, and I go through this whole thing, and doesn't he know lard is bad for you? Anyway, World Plumbing Day. Okay. don't laugh. It's pretty important. And then finally, I want to – this is kind of a fascinating – it's a two-parter, okay? The first armed car robbery took place on this day in 1927 – which I thought was bizarre. They made off with $104,000, which in today's money is about $2 million. It's like you never think about this. And then for those who are a little 60s-ish, 1971, remember this group, the Partridge Family, had their first big hit song. And you probably don't even know who the Partridge Family are, do you? Do you know who they are at all? You know what? It's better you just keep moving on. It's not even worth it. They did one really interesting. I think I love you. That's a long, long time. David Cassidy. Long, long time ago in a land far away. Let's just go to the text. All right. So verse 18 in Philippians 4 says the following. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. That reference on a sweet-smelling sacrifice, by the way, is the Levitical praise offering. Okay, that's what it's directly attached to. And their gifts, I want you to hear this, were sacrificial, and so they were pleasing to God. Now, why I say that is for you to catch this. When you have a childhood swing and your swing is partly broken and you buy another swing for your household and then you say, we should take this and give it to the church, even though it's partly broken, that's not sacrificial giving. That's called, I'm not taking it to the dump, I'm giving it to the church. That's not impressive. Okay, that's not sacrificial. Well, the church should be thankful. No, you should be thankful. And the church should be a place that you give and invest in, Not church doesn't get leftovers. God doesn't get leftovers unless you want God to start giving you leftovers. You don't want to do that, right? You want to have a right sacrificial praise in your giving. And the reason that I bring that up is, having been a pastor, I've had that situation on a number of occasions where, instead of people wanting to just throw them out, well, we're just going to give it to the church. And then they wanted to write it off, and it was broken. It was like, you got to be kidding. That's not an acceptable sacrifice that's well-pleasing to the Lord. You should. And I'm not saying you have to give, go out and buy the top line and give it to the Lord. Unless the Lord leads you to, then you should do it. What I am saying is that when you give, or when you're giving sacrificially, that's what's well-pleasing to God. It's a sacrificial give. How does that work? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A sacrificial give. That's what we should be doing. And it doesn't have to just be a church, and we've talked about that before. It just has to be genuine. It's a Levitical praise offering. Paul's like going, man, that was just cool that you did that. You brought gifts. Epaphroditus delivered these gifts. They're a sweet-smelling aroma. Before the Lord, it's like incense. Incense that's wonderful because it means genuine Christian love. And God likes that. He likes when we do that. So I'm going to stop on the Philippians there, because next week, if the Lord allows, we will pick it up from verse 19, talking about God supplying all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We'll discuss that, plus the closeout on the letter. Then we'll do a little bit of prep work on the book of Acts, and also Ezra and Nehemiah, which we're getting ready to do. What I will tell you is, I'd encourage you, you know, the show a week from today, it will be the 2-year anniversary. Yikes. And a week from, what's today? And tomorrow is my 40th month of being in Texas. I always think God has something cooking on stuff like that. So I don't think things are accidental. I think God coordinates timing perfectly. He's got a fantastic watch. So anyway, just keep us in prayer as we get into this third year that we're going into. We are going into some eschatology, and I am expecting you guys to be a little more patient. Okay, you have to be more patient because it's a tougher area. The last thing I want to do is, I just want to pray over everybody, okay? So just give me a second. Give me this 1 minute to pray over you, and then we're going to exit, okay? All right. Father, I just come before you. I just want to thank you for the audience. I want to thank you for every person who's listening right now, every person that listened earlier, every person that's taken time out of their lives. And I just pray and ask you, I petition you. I sacrifice before you, Lord, that even just a little bit, that people can be encouraged in you, drawn closer to you, draw into you, and reflect you more and more. And we're all changing into the image of Jesus Christ, glory by glory and step by step. Let some of the things that we do on the show be an encouragement to that process, and use us as you see fit, and help us to address what needs to be addressed, and do our best to follow you in all of this. We want you to be glorified. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and pray you continually empower us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a little bit of a break, then we'll be back. God bless you.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers, and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.